It's hard to say this.
Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. My name is Toad. Today I'm sitting down with Alexandra Kay as she played her first show right here in Vegas at Stoney's Rock and Country. We dove right into gambling, bartending, collaborations with Logan Mize, Julia Cole, and more. We talked about label deals, her move to Nashville, and so much more. I'm just going to stop because I am so excited for y'all to get to know Alexandra Kay.
On every stage, and he just had to mention he hates the attention. I painted pink skies at sunrise to cover all the blue.
Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. First time in the studios. Alexandra Kay, welcome to Toad's Tunes.
Thanks for having me.
Dude, welcome to Vegas and Stoney's.
Thank you. First show ever playing in Vegas.
Is it really?
It is. This is my first Vegas show.
That part I didn't know.
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
I think that it is going to be an incredible night based on how many people are already coming to the show.
That was on you. Yes, it's going to be a great night. I don't think it gets much better than your first show here. And I'm going to go ahead and say that right before the doors, I think we'll be sold out. There's a little less than 100 tickets left. So they're creeping. And this is when we sell the most, is right before doors.
I'm so excited. I'm so, so excited. And I think it's going to be so fun to watch the go-go dancers dance to my really sad country songs tonight. I am literally going to live my best life watching that.
I think that what we'll do is I'll make sure that when those come on, I'll have them on the floor so they can two-step
okay,
with
okay,
people.
Okay, cool.
I think that'll be a little bit easier for them more than anything.
Oh, my gosh.
You got in town yesterday?
I did, yes.
What did you gamble?
Gambled, yeah, we definitely did. Actually, I have a story to tell you.
Let's hear it. I was planning on telling
you this today because it's just, honestly, it would only happen to us. It didn't actually happen to me. It happened to, like, the band. But, okay, so yesterday what we did was everybody kind of, like, split off, did their own lunch thing. We shopped for a little bit. Everybody met up at Mandalay Bay, and we got some drinks. We gambled. Everybody kind of, like, saved some buyout money from, like, other shows. And so our tour manager was just, like, happy gambling. So, like, it was money we didn't know we were getting.
Sure, free money.
He just kind of held
free
it back
money
for us. Yeah. And so everybody was, like, cool. So we all, you know, did our thing. Some won, some lost. We went and had dinner. Afterwards, we're like, okay, that's it. Everybody is dead. After dinner, we're going home. Then John sits down at the blackjack table, and we decide that we're going to go over to, was it roulette that we were playing? So we go over to roulette. I just start putting lose money down on black, and I just keep winning.
Black
I just
every
keep
time.
It on black, right?
Black every time.
Black every time. I just kept it on black. So we just kept winning, and then everybody was just so tired. We were like, we have to go. Everybody put money down, all their money that was left. Some on black, some on red. And we were like, okay, well, like, just joking. Some of us are going to be really, really happy. It literally hits a single zero green. All of our money goes.
Of course it did.
We took everything we had left, and everybody put it on either black or red, and nobody won, and we all left with nothing and went home.
My favorite thing to tell everyone when they come here and they think they're going to win is when you're in the casino, just look up. Look how beautiful it is.
Yeah.
Y'all don't win.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to win.
You're not going to win. I play video poker every now and then at grocery stores.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. You go to the grocery store for bread, oatmeal, mm-hmm. milk, throw a 20 in the machine. 2 years in a row, the same machine, I hit a royal. It's $1,000.
No way.
Yeah. You pay tax after $1,100.
Right.
So it's free money.
Wow. Yeah. You know, that's kind of a foreign concept to some of the people in the band because where Nick and I are from in Southern Illinois, they're everywhere, right? Same thing. You know, they'll be in gas stations. They're in...
Is it Indian stuff? Indian reservation or...
No. They're just everywhere. They're in every single bar, every, you know, gas stations, stores, stuff like that. And it's such a foreign concept to, like, people like Lou from New York or Rocco
right.
from California. They're like, what do you mean? Like, I'm like, every single Friday night, we would just, like, get beers and go to the back of the honk, like, this little bitty hole-in-the-wall bar and gamble on the machines.
Did
and so, like, we're so used to it, you know?
Did they have, like, a limit? Like, it was, I mean, here you can bet $25 a hand if you want to, times five. So, 125, I mean.
No, I don't really. I mean, they're machines. They're just, like, they're just
slot machines.
Yeah.
Slot machines, gotcha.
Yeah, they're just slot
machines.
Three quarters
and off you go.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. But, I mean, like, there were some nights whenever I would, back in my bartending days, like, call off work or something. And then we would, like, I would go to the bar with my friends. I'd be like, oh, I'm sick. I can't come in. And then I would go,
and
like,
hey, go gamble.
Go hang out with my friends. And I would make my money that I didn't.
Did you go see, a psychiatrist or a therapist for that problem you had with gambling?
No, it was every once in a while. I might call in sick once or twice from work, cyborgs. I'm sorry. I love you guys.
How long did you bartend for?
I was with Cybergs, which is a company in St. Louis based, and they have, I believe, like 7 locations. And so I started at their South County location at Helen Fitzgerald's in 2012, I want to say. And then I was there at their O'Fallon location until 2020.
Do you drink today? Like, do you, I mean, beer?
I'm a Miller Lite girl.
Miller Lite girl.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is your favorite thing to make as a bartender?
As a bartender, I thought it was really fun to make shots, I guess.
Like
I
what
could
kind?
Pretty much make
like
anything
whatever?
Back then, yeah.
How are you with green tea shots?
Yeah, green tea shots, I made a lot of them.
I want to hear your recipe for a green tea shot, because we're going to have some fun.
I'm going to be completely honest, I don't remember. Like,
you don't
I
remember?
I could guess.
Okay.
I'm sure there's probably sour mix in it.
Yep.
Well, I would say probably, if it's got a green color, probably melon, like that Midori.
No? No. We use Jameson, peach schnapps, and a little bit of Sprite. I don't even know why they call it a green tea shot, because it's not green.
Oh, okay. See, ours were green.
Oh.
Okay. So then it would have been a different.
So at some point tonight,
that would be melon ball, probably. Anyways.
Oh,
ahead.
Probably.
Yeah.
At some point tonight, do I get to put you behind the bar here at Stoney's?
I would honestly probably be horrible at this point. I haven't bartended in
You could do
years.
What I do. Just if someone orders a Jack and Coke, that one's easy. If they order something, like you said, a Midori whatever shot, and you don't know how to make it, you just hand them a beer and say, here you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's
what
I do.
They did on Coyote Ugly. She's like, I know how to make this.
Right.
Take that.
We had a couple private events here, and we didn't expect the people to drink as much. So we had one bartender.
Yeah.
And I will never tell you that I'm a bartender, because that's the furthest thing I am from anything. But I was behind the bar, and it was JC's, one of the regular bartenders here. And we're behind the bar, and every time someone ordered something crazy, I would be like, yeah, I don't know how to make that. But it seems simple, but a whiskey sour.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue what that was. Like,
no
it does,
way.
Doesn't even make sense to me. Like, whiskey sour. I was like, if you ordered a Coors Light, Miller Light, you know, any kind of beer or a neutral or a White Claw, I'm in. Tito's, I'm in. But, dude, you start throwing a whiskey sour. I didn't know. I was like, you need to go see her.
Because you didn't think of sour mix as
no.
sour.
No.
Right, exactly.
Had
but it's
no
literally
idea what it
whiskey and sour mix. That's all it is. That's so funny.
Logan Mize.
Mm-hmm.
You have a single with him.
I do.
I heard that song before when, I can't remember his name, when he was on it.
Oh, Donovan Woods.
Yeah, Donovan
yeah.
Woods. I absolutely loved that song.
Killer song.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Then I get to hear it. I always said I want to hear a girl's point of view on that, because it sounds really weird with Donovan in there talking about. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He almost sounded like, I'm a bitch. You
yeah.
know, that sort of thing. That's what I took out of it. That's probably going to be bad to say. I didn't mean that, dude. But the reality behind it was that definitely needed a girl's point of view. How'd you get involved with that?
So I got the phone call from Charlie, who's Logan Mize's manager. I guess it was 2020, was it? And I was just really climbing as far as like my social media numbers very rapidly at that point, especially on TikTok. I was gaining followers very, very quickly and going viral all the time. And so that's how Charlie stumbled upon me. And they had already been wanting to bring a girl on. And they really liked that I had a lot of momentum socially and thought that I could help push the record. And so I listened to it one time. And I'm super picky when it comes to my collaborations. Like, I have to love the song. And I listened to it one time and called Beth right back. And was like, absolutely, I'm in on this. It's an incredible song. I really wish I could have co-written it. But just to be able to, you know, be a part of a version was really cool.
It is pretty neat. Julia Cole.
Yeah.
Love her. I actually
yeah.
wrote her yesterday. I sent her a text. And I was like, any chance you're in town for NFR? I met her at a wedding in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I knew who she was, but I didn't know her at that point per se. And I like went right up to her, and we have a mutual friend named Stevie Mons. I don't know if you happen to know him by any
yeah.
chance, but we sent a picture to Stevie. I do this thing. I'm very well known for flipping people off.
Uh-huh.
And I sent it to Stevie. Well, ended up Julie and I talked back and forth. She came to town one time, has never played at Stoney's. I want to get her out here. I got to find the right time to do it. But your single with her too is, I love it. I
Best
love
for sex.
Yes. My God. I listen to it all the time. And like, I think I heard it. You're on that. That's her song that you're on?
Yes, correct. Yes. Correct.
I think the first time I heard that, I was like, wow, I love this voice, because I didn't know who you were back then.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't even know how long ago that was. When did that song come out?
Almost 2 years ago.
Almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
I was late to the party on this one.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think so. At what point did you realize that this is what you wanted to do for a living? I know that you were found pretty much on TikTok. That's how it all
actually
started for
Facebook.
You? Facebook.
Yeah, I had my first viral video back in 2014 on Facebook. I think it has 80 million views or something.
Holy cow.
Of me singing Dolly Parton's song, Jolene.
Just by yourself?
Just,
like, no help pushing it? It just went? You didn't do
yeah,
it with
it
any
very
other platform?
Organic,
wow.
Very organic. Well, there wasn't a lot of platforms back in 2014. TikTok wasn't a thing yet.
I meant throughout Facebook. There was nobody behind you that you weren't collabing
oh,
with
no.
another, like a country rebel or anything like that?
No, no.
Got
no,
it
was
rad.
just very organic, and it just So, okay, so what happened was I got my first record deal in 2012.
Okay.
And I signed a Network Entertainment. I ended up leaving in 2014 and going independent. At that point, I wanted to really start gaining a social media following. At that time, I had seen what Kane Brown was doing and how he was rapidly gaining fans on Facebook. And I was like, I can, you know, I love 90s country music. I don't hear it enough.
Sure.
I want to start making videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I sat down on my parents' staircase and I started making, I think I'd post 4 or 5 covers a week every single day and would sing 90s country songs that I loved. And slowly I just started gaining a Facebook following over and over and over. And I think then Jolene happened and then that completely turned my life upside down. And from there I ended up going on The Voice. And then from The Voice I ended up getting cast in a Netflix original series called West Side. And so I lived in Los Angeles and I shot on a Netflix TV show for 2 years. And then I was signed to Warner Brother Records at that time. That was 2018.
The Netflix was as an actress?
No, it was a documentary series on Netflix about 9 up-and-coming singer-songwriters
gotcha. Okay.
in L.A. Yeah, and so I signed to Warner from that. And then I ended up leaving Warner after that, going back to being independent. And then started going on TikTok in 2019, 2020.
Where do you live now?
Nashville.
Why did you move to Nashville?
Because I started touring a lot, to be completely honest, and all the tours leave from Nashville, and
right.
I was completely exhausted having to come off of the road every single week, and everyone got to go home to go to their bed, and I had to drive 5 hours
right.
back home.
So, that's fair.
So I definitely needed to be there, as well as just all of the opportunities that have come my way, and you know, I stay really busy, so gotta
yes.
be in Nashville to do most of the things that I do.
I have a funny story about Kane Brown. He played here New Year's Eve 2015, first time he ever was on the West Coast.
Wow.
So I talked to radio here in town, and I bet the program director here $20 that he'd make it in radio, like he would be on radio, and he guaranteed me that he wouldn't, that he just wasn't fit for it. I won't say any names on the record. but you go to, I don't know which convention is in Nashville where they bring out the new artists that they just signed to the big labels.
CRS.
It was CRS. And he was the next big thing that signed the big deal and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
I got a text message that night that just basically said, I owe you $20. And it was pretty funny because we brought him out here based on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was completely killing it on Facebook. And he was like the first of its kind back then. And I was seeing it happen. And I was just like, I want to be a part of this. And like,
yeah.
he was just doing cover songs at that point. He hadn't even cut his first EP.
Right.
And so, you know, he really inspired me to do what I do. And I actually got to play with him at the celebrity softball game last year. He was on my team. And I got to tell him that, you know,
that
I was like
part of the inspiration.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
Neat.
Yeah.
It was funny. New Year's. It's like if you're booked for a New Year's show, you would assume that you're going to do the countdown, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he wasn't doing it.
Why?
It wasn't going to happen because they kind of said it wasn't part of the deal. It turned out to be kind of perfect. His manager was in Mexico and we're going back and forth with these phone calls. And I'm not saying it was dumb. It was just dumb. But at the end of the day, I was like, I'm not going to bring someone in for New Year's and they're not going to do the countdown. So the fix to all that was that him and I would go on the stage together and count it down together. And it was the weirdest thing because we're both holding mics, literally staring at each other. And I just go, 10. He goes, 9. And that's how the countdown went. That was his first ever countdown on stage.
You know, that's not really surprising because Kane's actually very shy. Mm-hmm. He's very like shy and to himself
yeah.
and it's crazy because when you watch his show he like kind of comes alive and I think that it's so cool to see him perform because I don't know, I just feel like that just from the outside looking in that just looks like the place where he's the most comfortable to like really be himself.
Definitely.
But he's pretty to himself like in the public or anytime I've been around him he's like very quiet.
I saw him at Root in 17 and he was very quiet, very high. But very quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to say that too bad. What's your favorite song you've been a part of so far?
Oh, probably Best Worst Ex, to be honest. It was it's just been really cool to see it continue to like go crazy. And you know me, I'm whenever I write songs, I don't really try to gear anything towards what I think the people would want to hear. And being an independent artist, I think that that's really fun, that I don't have to do that.
You're
I don't
allowed
have to.
Yeah,
I don't have to stay in a box. And so, you know, listening to my album, I'm sure that you can tell that I am very much a balladeer. And that's kind of where my heart like kind of goes whenever I'm trying to figure out what I want to make. And so, being a part of Best Worst Sex just kind of threw me out of my comfort zone, and it gave me a song that was just like super hype, and it's, you know, my encore song I come out to every single night, and
beautiful.
It's just really been able to give me a great show moment, and so it's my favorite. And obviously I adore Julia Cole, she's one of my best friends in town, and just being able to do that with her, I took her out as my opener on the Backroad Therapy 2 tour. I'm sorry, the Backroad Therapy tour, and we got to perform it every single night as the encore. It was really
How
fun.
Did you get her on and on that song?
She
get you on that and on that song, sorry.
Oh, she just, you know, we had met and became friends through the 615 house when I was still in the 615 house. And
She just present it to you, and it's like one of those things you listen to and went, hell yes, I want this one?
She was just like, hey, like, here is a song. I think it's a banger. I could totally hear your voice on it, and I think our fans would love it. And so I listened to it, and I couldn't stop listening to it. When I listened to it one time, it got stuck in my head, and I was like, I need something like this, you know?
I said earlier to you, actually, to her, that Everleave.
Yeah.
I listened to that song the other day. I don't know what made me listen to it, but I just listened to it for some reason. And I started reading the lyrics. And I'm a pretty non-emotional dude when it comes to a lot of stuff. I almost teared up because that song, I'm sure it hits home for a lot of freaking people.
Yeah.
You wrote it?
Yeah, I did.
Based on?
I wrote it with Lauren Weintraub.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who brought that to the table, the idea behind it?
I did, because it was my story. And so how that came about, and I tell this on stage every night, but how that came about was I already had the write scheduled, and I had just a really, really rough day. You know, I got divorced this year, and that is, I wrote this album to heal through that, and I didn't really know that anybody was ever going to hear these songs, or didn't intend for this to be my first record I ever put out. But once we listened back to it, I was like, I can't imagine going through this all over again and not having these songs in order to help. And I felt like keeping them to myself would have been doing a disservice to a lot of people that needed them. And so I ended up putting them out. But with Everleave specifically, that day I had already had a write schedule with Lauren, who's one of my favorite writers in town. She also wrote Skip This Part and co-wrote it. And that day I called her and I was just like, man, can you come to my house? Because I really don't feel like I can leave. It was one of those days. I was very depressed. My divorce was hitting me very hard. I felt very just low, you know?
Right.
Healing is like this.
My arms are starting to wake up.
And healing is very much like this. And one day I felt like I was completely over it. And the next day I felt like it happened yesterday. And that was one of those days. So she came over and she just asked me, she's like, what have you been writing about to get through this? And I said, I've been writing a lot about how I feel now, where I'm at in my healing journey after divorce, but not how we got here, how we got to this point of not being together after 11 years anymore.
It's a long
and she
time.
Said,
wow.
Let's write that then. Yeah. And so we did. And, you know, I told her, I said, I felt like I remember sitting at the end of my bed so many times saying, I feel like nothing is going to change and I cannot get it through to you. And I honestly feel like you think I'm just going to continue to be here and I'm never going to leave.
Right.
And he was like, well, I don't think you're ever going to leave. And, you know, obviously we got to the point to where it just wasn't healthy anymore and I ended up leaving. But that's how we came up with that song. And it is the biggest song on the record, which makes me so happy because it's not a radio song.
No. Well, like, I mean, if you think of the other side of it, it is your story. It is. How do you feel singing it every night? Like, how does that hit you? Do you go back to those feelings again? Is that emotional tie to it?
For some reason, I always have the same image in my head whenever I sing it. And I remember cutting it in the studio and I had the same image in my head as well. But did you ever watch any of my coffee cover videos on TikTok?
I did not.
Okay. So that's how I got big on TikTok. And so we can talk about that in a second, but I have a yellow kitchen, and okay. So and that's what everybody kind of like.
I take that back. I have seen them. Yes.
Okay. like that's the one where I was like with Randy Travis, with Tim McGraw, like all of that stuff. And so, anyways, everybody kind of thinks about me and thinks of like, oh, like you're the girl in the yellow kitchen making coffee, right? So I had this yellow kitchen when I lived in that house with him, and I have this image of me standing at the sink, looking out the window, feeling so trapped because I was so in love with this person. I was so in love with this person that I honestly didn't think I was ever going to go anywhere either. I was like, I can't. I will literally die without this human.
Right.
But I was so unhappy and I was so unfulfilled, and so many things were happening that were so toxic in the space. And for some reason, every night when I sing it, I am standing at that sink looking out that window at some point in the song. I don't know why.
It's perfect, though.
I don't know why, but I could draw it for you. It's so vivid every single night. Yeah.
I think that's neat, though, because then it goes back to it's real. And your fans are probably looking at you knowing that they've seen that image of you there before. Maybe not put the two together, but know right. that it's hitting you again.
Right. And, you know, I also say this every single night. I wrote these songs a little over a year ago. Because a lot of people, you know, aren't in the business, don't know how long it takes to make a record.
7 years.
You know, it takes a while.
Hold so on, as a signed artist, 7 years.
Yeah, right. With us, we could turn around a little quicker.
But, tomorrow.
But I wrote these songs a year ago. And so my heart is in a much more healed, much better place now than it was back then. So
sure.
I don't get as emotional. But anybody who came to the Back Row Therapy 2 tour, I mean, I would break down on stage every single night.
I guess that's the point I was getting to, is how it hits you. So today it's yeah. happiness that other people get to relate to what you went through.
Today I'm in awe. Wait till you. I'm so excited for you to experience this tonight. The singing, it sounds like an arena. Every single night, it is the loudest, is it not? It is the loudest I have ever heard people sing. People are bawling, breaking down. I can't wait for you to experience it.
I'm looking
forward
to it.
It's the most moving thing.
Ashley Cook just came through, and it was a very similar night with her. Mm-hmm. The people just really, really loved her. And Avery Anna came through.
Yeah.
I have this stigma for some reason in this industry that I don't like female artists. And I don't understand why people put me in that box, because if you look at the back wall and you look at what I've done this year.
You do just, a lot of females.
That's my favorite thing
yeah.
in the world. It's one of my favorites, because you guys sit back and you guys have this an uphill battle all the time.
Yeah.
And I love being able to open that door for a lot of people. But going back to the Ashley Cook piece, she played here and the people were singing her songs like crazy too.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine, because they weren't out here like they are tonight for you. This is going to be pretty freaking neat. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm so excited. And I'm so excited that we get to come here and do it, because I've been wanting to play this place for so long. This is all
Why didn't you just call me?
On my
what
bed.
The heck?
You know, we wanted to make sure, you know, we came out west and we did the whole thing on the yeah. tour. And so we're here tomorrow, and then we play a sold out show at the Roxy tomorrow night. Then we play a sold out show in Sacramento the next night, and so on and so forth. Sold out in Denver, sold out in Kansas City. I mean, they are just coming out like crazy on this tour. And it's so strange, because not only are we women, like if we're talking about radio, right? Not only do we already have a step back because we're female, but then you try to take a ballad, you're a female and you sing a ballad,
yeah.
it ain't ever gonna happen, right? And so for my record, which is like 90% ballads, to be drawing the thousands.
Yes.
I mean, we did 25,000 tickets on this tour as an independent artist. For that, it just feels redeeming, right?
When does that sink in, though? Like, to really think about it, when does that actually sink in?
I cry all the time about it.
I could only imagine.
I break down and cry to her all the time about it, just with gratitude, because I am one of those artists that started with seven people in the crowd, three yeah. people in the crowd. You know, I talk about this all the time, too. We're in a different day and age when it comes to how we're discovering music, how we're discovering artists based on TikTok. And in a lot of ways, I feel like that artist discovery and just artist creation is becoming fast fashion in just a certain way, because I feel like the record labels are signing one song that has the numbers right then. And then if the next song doesn't do that, they're kind of just getting shoved to the side.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's based on what is hot right this second. And then it's just like how we have no retention anymore, how we're letting ourselves look at a video for 2 seconds and then we're gone if we're not completely hooked.
Yep.
I feel like that is how people are looking and retaining music these days. And to be completely honest, there are artists that are getting signed who have never played a show. Isn't that such a wild concept?
I'm going to have some fun with you and tell you there's been a couple that have rolled through here, and it shows and is the worst thing in the world, because it's you get sold a bill of goods on something.
Right.
And it's frustrating, because for me, I'm a fan of music first.
Right.
I've had TMs that have come up to me when the artist has stepped foot on the stage and said, hey, can we settle? And I'm like, no, dude. I want to watch. I'm a fan of music, so that's what I'm here for.
Right.
But I know exactly what you're talking about. I probably still could call the number one in country music, the entitled number one, because my mindset is an artist that reaches number one status should be around for a decade, period. And it's rare these days.
I agree. I agree. And I think that, you know, I've also seen it to where I've had conversations with artists who have literally told me, like, I'm getting ready to go on my first tour and my first show is opening up for whoever,
yeah,
for 10,000 people. And I'm like, oh my God, my first show was
Billy's barbecue.
My first show was Billy's barbecue. And I stood on top of a picnic table and three people watched me say, I mean, or I was on a truck bed where I was, you know, but I got to learn my chops there though. I got to mess up in front of three people.
Right.
I got to sound pitchy. I got to, and nobody remembers because it was 10 years ago.
Sure.
You know, but that's why I was ready whenever, as an independent artist, I got that call to be on the Tim McGraw tour. Because I had already played.
Right.
I don't even know how many shows, you know.
You know John Morgan?
Yes.
He's a writer. He started out as a writer for Aldean.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I met him up at Country Fan Fest last year, and we sat down and had a conversation about his first tour he ever went on was an acoustic duo for Huge. Like, he didn't go through the ropes. He went out with Aldean, his first one. And then his second tour was full band opening for Aldean. And I'm like, bro, you did this backwards.
I would literally... Okay, so I am... Well, I can't even, I have no idea how many shows I've played in my life. I have no idea because I've been playing shows for 10 years. So I have no idea. And I used to play every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 5 hours a night. That's how I made my money. Anyways, I was a cover band. But
you're doing those tonight, right?
If I would have, no. Although I could, I still remember them.
No.
But I can't imagine because even all the shows I had under my belt, I was still dry heaving every night before I was going on in front of Tim's.
Like, how could you not? He's
amphitheater
a
crowd.
Monster.
Oh,
right?
My God. And then he would, like, walk past me backstage, and he'd just be the coolest, like, high five in my heart. Every time he would walk past me, he'd be like, boom, 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 boom. And he's so cool and down to earth, but, like, he's Tim McGraw. Like, I grew up listening to him. He's the reason I fell in love with country music. And then Faith Hill, don't even get me started.
Yeah. She's not a beauty or nothing.
Oh, my God.
I don't think she ages at all.
I literally got lost in her eyes as she was talking to me. I was like,
I can't even hear you right now.
Yeah, I couldn't. She's incredible. Yeah.
Let's talk about your off time. What's your favorite thing to do on your off time when you're at home? Come on. Hey, it's going to happen. Like, is there something you look forward to
well,
doing?
Actually,
like, don't
just,
say sleep.
No, I actually just... Well, and this is something new, but it's a new hobby that I picked up because I work on my cell phone, right?
Why is everybody laughing around you?
Everyone's laughing because they know what it is, but I just started crocheting.
Oh, okay.
And I'm an old lady, basically. But anyways, I just started crocheting, and I just had a brand new nephew was born.
You did it yourself?
Yeah. My sister just birthed the new
there
baby boy named Brooks, and he was born like 5 days ago, and so I crocheted him a hat. So
that's the first thing that you crocheted?
My first thing I crocheted was I crocheted him a baby hat, and I'm working on socks for him right now. But that is my new hobby, and the reason why I picked that up is because if I have too much time on my hands, will scroll. And it's not healthy for me to scroll.
Yeah.
And I'm just that person because I'm so, so driven by my career. And I love social media. I love the analytics side. I love the business side of music. That if I'm scrolling and I see something, I'm back into work mode. And I never actually shut down. So I said, I got to find a hobby that doesn't include my phone. So I started crocheting. And I really like it. And I think my mental health is really good. Right? <Best. laughs>
You're totally trying to sell this right now. I think, and I don't know if it's working.
It has
That's
been.
Honest.
She told me the other day, she goes, you're so peaceful. And I'm sitting here like, uh-huh.
Because you have to really pay attention to it, right?
Yeah. I decorated the bus with Christmas,
did
Christmas
you really?
Decorations. Everyone has a stocking hanging up. I got a mini tree. I've taped everything down, obviously, because it shakes. But yeah, that's my new hobby. Yeah.
There's a woman that used to work for us here, and her name is Michelle, and she started doing that. She's made me two hats so far.
Oh.
Yeah, she makes all kinds of fun stuff. It's really like, and she's not old or anything either, so I think that she's got that old lady kind of aura about her as well.
I've always thought that I had an old soul.
Yeah.
I've always I think dressed more mature or more conservative, I guess. My whole life, I love to just sit down with an old man and just hear his stories.
Dude,
and like,
I just said this the other day. My favorite thing to do is talk to old people.
Oh,
it really
so guys.
their knowledge is ridiculous. The stuff, no matter what it is, you learn. You can absolutely learn something from old people because they've got the experience, whether they were in the wars or they've just experienced life a little bit different, relationships, yeah. business, anything like that.
But they got to live through a whole generation that didn't exist on cell phones or or having FOMO. Like, do you, I feel like that half of the people that have anxiety because they are able to look at what everyone else is doing all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, back in the day, like the only way you could figure out where all your friends were hanging out is if you drove by and saw all the bikes in the front yard.
So I was just going to say the same thing when I was a kid. That's what it was all about. Shit,
yeah.
Jimmy's not home. Wonder
that's,
where he's at.
That's
I'm
going
to ride down the arcade, see if he's at the arcade. No, maybe he's at 7-Eleven. Shit, no, he's not there either. It's
that's
like,
it. Yeah. And now, you know, all of your friends can say, oh, no, sorry, we're not hanging out tonight. And you can see him on Instagram 5 minutes later. And
right.
it's like no wonder the generation has just so much, like, fear of missing out and anxiety and social anxiety. It's like everyone is so overstimulated all the time.
Ironically enough, when I sent Julia Cole that text message, she wrote me back and said, no, FOMO. I'll show it to you. That's what she wrote back.
I literally was just talking to her today. I just randomly texted her and told her I missed her. And I figured she was going to be out here tonight. But then I was like, she would tell me. I would literally never come sing Best Worst Ex.
We'd have to beat her ass if she didn't.
Yeah,
like
for
literally.
Sure.
All right, here's a fun question for you. Mount Rushmore. Let's replace the four heads on Mount Rushmore with your favorite artist that made you the artist you are today.
Garth Brooks, Jody Messina, Michael Jackson, and that made me the artist I am today.
Sure,
yeah. Garth Brooks, Jody Messina, Michael Jackson.
Insert Jeopardy music now.
Like, as far, like, this is going to sound really weird, but Drake.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, I know that sounds kind of off, but.
No, it doesn't.
So, Michael Jackson, I got very, I became very obsessed with Motown at a young age, and then really fell into Jackson 5, and I think that was, like, the first CD I ever bought myself with like my allowance money and my little Walkman was my Jackson 5 Greatest Hits CD. So then I graduated from Jackson 5 into Michael Jackson, and then my parents bought me this Greatest Hits tape, like VHS tape, that had all of his Greatest Hits music videos. So it had Billie Jean, it had Black or White, it had Thriller, it had everything, Bad. And I would watch it over and over and over. And I was so infatuated by the way he moved and the way he...
Something about him as an artist.
Had
was,
the ability to emote, you know? And Man in the Mirror, I mean, you know. And so it was a huge, I guess, kind of telling point to my parents that I was very into music and that this wasn't a normal thing that like I was just upstairs just jamming like Michael Jackson and Jackson 5 when everybody else was listening to NSYNC, you know what I'm saying? So that was a big thing. Garth Brooks has been one of my favorite artists my entire life. I'm so excited for the day that I get to play arenas so that I can build a show the way he built a show. I've seen him every single time he's come anywhere near me and I'm bursting into tears. This is not a lie.
Super fan.
Super fan. I know every song. So him for sure. Jody Messina is my favorite voice, I would say, as a female in country music. And now we're friends and I have her cell phone number in my phone. It's so weird. And I tell her every time and she like never wants to hear it. She's not that type of...
But she's human again.
Yeah, exactly. She's just like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, like come out to the farm and we'll hang out. You know, she's very cool, but I idolized her as a, you know, at a young age and her songwriting and, you know, just her performance, her voice, incredible.
And she's coming back around again.
She's coming back around again.
Which
and
is kind of cool.
Giving all the glory to God. And she's just a very godly woman. And we really connect on a personal level. And my parents knowing how big of a fan I was. So she brought me out to open for her. I don't remember where it was, but not too long ago. It was a festival and, it was the first time my parents got to see her and I together, and my mom was just in awe because, you know, she'll be like getting ready to go on stage and she will come over and hug me and kiss me on my face and be like, great show. And then go up on stage. And my mom is just like,
how?
I'm like, I know, I don't understand. doesn't make sense to me, but here we are.
If you could take, if I gave you $10 million and you could put together five artists, whatever venue you wanted to go to, where would you go play? Of course, you're on the bill. Place yourself on the bill as well. And who else are you playing with? Like your bucket list of a show.
Bucket list of a show.
Who you get to play with and where it's going to be too.
Okay. It's going to be at Red Rocks.
Have you played there yet?
No.
Have you seen a show there yet?
No. So, but I'm so excited to play there one day.
I've been there three times, never seen a show, but I'm waiting for that right artist to go with to experience it on both sides of everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Same. Okay, it would be me and then four other people.
Yeah.
Okay. Garth.
Huge. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I wonder who's going to sell the tickets on that
one. Yeah, me. Probably me. And then, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Guys, I'm just kidding. So it would be.
Write it down. December 9th.
I already got the video.
It would be. Okay, so definitely Garth, just because I would. I'm putting together the lineup that I would want to see after I get off stage. Sure. So. Garth, George Strait, oh gosh, it's so hard. It's so hard.
Here's what we're going to do. Give me one more big one and then give me someone new and up and coming that you like.
Oh, okay. Man, that's hard too because I have so many new and up and coming people that I'm just completely.
I'll let you pick 13 of them then. No, I'm just
and I think are going to be huge. Well, okay. I know I was just talking to you about her earlier, but Lauren Weintraub is. I think she's going to be absolutely massive.
I'm going to go look her up. I've never heard of her.
Please do.
I will.
You'll be able to tell that she's co-written some of my songs because. It very much, like, Skip This Part has her vibe. But she is such a clever, smart. She's so intelligent. She's got a great voice. She's got awesome style. Anyways, I think she's going to be massive. And I'm so excited to watch it happen. I think it would be super cool to have Celine Dion on that.
Holy cow.
That as well.
I wonder if they have a helicopter pad for her to land on.
And that's the way.
I believe that when she was here and she had a residency here, she lived out at Lake Las Vegas, and all over the news was always her helicopter taking her to work. She wouldn't drive. She would take a helicopter from Lake Las Vegas to whatever hotel she
I
was
saw
at.
Did you ever see the episode where she was doing the carpool karaoke?
With his name? Yeah.
Yeah, and he...
James Corden.
Yeah. And she's got like a whole, they were talking about how she's got a whole room full of shoes, a warehouse full of shoes.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think it's time you start giving your shoes away. And he like had his back seat full of her shoes and he was making her give her shoes away. And she was like, no, I love these. Okay. And he was like, I think you're going to be okay. And she was like painfully handing her like $10,000 heels.
Sometimes you got to let shit go.
I know. But I'm such a fan of her and I'm such a fan of her, the way she emotes. Like, I think being able to emote is one of the superpowers you can have as an artist. If I believe you.
Absolutely.
That is what makes me want to buy it all. I want to go all in on you if I believe what you're singing. And she does that for me for sure. Garth does that for me for sure. Faith Hill always did that for me. Yeah. Also, Haley Mae Campbell, I think, is going to be.
She was here last year for NFR.
Yeah, she's my opener on my tour this year.
Really?
Yeah. And so... we've absolutely loved having her on the tour.
Neat.
She's amazing. She's killing it every single night. The fans love her. And she's just such a cool hang. You know, I had her open just one show on the Back Road Therapy tour because Julia couldn't do one show. And so we brought her in for one and then Julia joined for the rest of the tour. And she came in, she played the show. She was like, just tried to like stay in her green room all day and like, which doesn't bother me, but like that just shows like her level of just like respect for the artist and like brought me flowers, brought me a card that was so nice and just thanking me for giving her the opportunity. And I was just, she was at the top of my list for openers for this tour because she made such a lasting impression and she's just a killer artist.
Yeah.
But like, you know, not everybody has that like level of class. She's just,
She's
a class act, and she's so talented, and I'm so excited to see the world, like, continue to discover her and everything she has
to offer. I got one more question for you. We'll let you go relax.
Yeah.
Who's the one person in Nashville you love to have drinks with?
Oh, have drinks with. Oh, Kelsey Ballerini. I feel like we have so much to talk about.
You think?
And every time I run into her, we're on like a carpet and show, like it's always just like a, hey sis, ha, love you, bye. But like we've never like hung out in that sit down and have drinks way. And I just think we could really just spill the tea.
Spill it. This has been fun. Tell people how to find you online.
You can find me at Alexandra, at Alexandra K Music on TikTok, Instagram, underscore Alexandra K on Twitter. And then my Facebook is Alexandra K with the blue check mark. Everything has a blue check mark. If it doesn't have that, it is not me. And don't talk to them.
Ever. And you don't ask for money, ever.
Ever. And I never will ask you for money. And I will never enter into relationships with people on WhatsApp.
Not even once?
Not even once.
I think you should do it once.
I've literally had people come to my shows and be like, it's me. And I'm like, oh, no, no.
No.
And they're like, you're not the same Alexandra K I've been talking to on WhatsApp, are you?
We're not dating?
We're not dating. And I'm like, we're not.
I don't even have WhatsApp. That's probably what I would say.
And yeah. I got to get out of here. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Really quick.
So crazy. Yeah.
Crazy. Thanks again for the time.
This was so fun. Thank you. Yeah, the second that we broke up, straight up was begging me to be his wife. Ooh.